Thanks to President Riccobono for those kind words. I want to thank the NFB board and staff, the Federationists from around the country and beyond our country, for inviting me to join in this historic National Federation of the Blind 2020 convention. It is, in fact, the largest gathering of blind people ever. That's saying something. I want to especially acknowledge the Federationists who are here from my state of Illinois. A special shout out to Denise Avant, president of NFB Illinois, member of the NFB National Board of Directors, and a tireless defender of equal rights for all. She's one of the best. You know, it's a curious thing about our sight. A person can have 20/20 eyesight and not be able to see truth that's right in front of them. And a blind person can have vision to imagine solutions to a problem before other people even see the problem. Visionaries like that are rare. We're here today, and America is better today because of one such visionary. You know his name, Dr. Jacobus Ten Broeck, NFB's founder. As you know, he was partially blinded in an accident when he was 7, completely blind by the age of 14. But as NFB rightly says repeatedly, his blindness was not the characteristic that defined him or his future. Dr. Ten Broeck taught law at Harvard, the University of Chicago, and the University of California at Berkeley. A constitutional law scholar, a humanitarian, a civil rights leader, a social welfare reformer, and a man who changed the world. In 1934, he was 23 years old. He and a handful of other blind people founded the California Council of the Blind. In 1940, a few years later, when he was 29, he organized the National Federation of the Blind. Young people, give them half a chance and they'll change the world, won't they? 1951, Dr. Ten Broeck published a book on the 13th and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution, and that was the same book that Thurgood Marshall, really the father of the modern civil rights movement, relied on heavily when he argued his case of Brown versus the Board of Education before the Supreme Court. Dr. Ten Broeck proved that separate but equal was a lie, even 5 years before the Supreme Court declared it so. His work helped pave the way for the righteous movement for racial justice, playing out even today in America with Black Lives Matter. His ideas also helped pave the way for major victories, including the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, and of course, the Americans with Disabilities Act, the great civil rights law that turns 30 years of age later this month. I'm proud to say that as a member of the House of Representatives, I voted for the Americans with Disabilities Act. I know how hard NFB worked to pass it, and I know how hard you've had to work to protect it. Part of the law of progress is that we have to safeguard the victories we've won, or we lose them. And we also need to build on those victories. I remember the world before the ADA, when arbitrary barriers and low expectations limited the dreams and opportunities for too many people with blindness and other disabilities. When I was younger, I had two uncles who became blind because of macular degeneration. They seemed to withdraw from the world as their eyesight dimmed. It was heartbreaking. Today, we know it's not only heartbreaking, it's unnecessary. The ADA was an historic step in ensuring that disability rights are recognized as human rights. Boy, the world's changed since 1990. We live our lives online. That has never been clearer than during this pandemic, when distance learning, telemedicine, online grocery shopping have become digital lifelines for so many Americans. Yet those same lifelines are inaccessible for far too many blind people. Because of the expense, because of the access to technology, they just don't have the access to this means of making their lives more complete. Companies that think access technology is too complicated or too specialized to include in their products should talk to Apple. They include text-to-voice technology in every iPad and iPhone they make. Standard equipment, ready to go, right out of the box. I believe that government can and should help expand the availability and affordability to access technology for the blind, period. I know this is a top priority for you, and I want to work with you to close the digital divide between sighted and blind people. America does better when we develop the skills and talents of everyone. That's why we passed IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act. Sadly, this current administration seems to struggle with that basic reality. But NFB, thank you for setting them straight. When the Department of Education tried to eliminate the right of parents and others to file complaints with the Department's Office of Civil Rights for violations of IDEA and other laws, your organization, organized a coalition of civil rights groups. You fought back and you won. That's leadership. And let me be clear, this pandemic does not erase or reduce the rights of blind students and students with other disabilities under IDEA or other laws. And any COVID relief bill that Congress passes must include additional resources to schools so they can provide accessible course materials, Braille instruction where needed, and other essential support during this crisis. Let me tell you what Congress should not do, not during this pandemic, never. We should not repeal the Affordable Care Act. We can't go back to the days when the insurance companies called all the shots, the days of pre-existing conditions, healthcare rationing through annual and lifetime caps. It's hard to believe that this administration is still pushing that in the midst of this deadly pandemic. They want to kill the Affordable Care Act in the Supreme Court. And what do they have to replace it with? Nothing. We need to stand together. We can improve the Affordable Care Act, but we certainly don't want to kill it. Congress also needs to protect the rights of all voters, underline the word all, including blind voters, to cast their votes safely, privately, independently, whether in person or by mail. The CARES Act, the third COVID relief bill that we passed in Congress, included $400 million to help states prepare for the elections. State election officials can and should use some of these funds to ensure safe access for voters with disabilities. Now, the CARES Act funding is a start, but it isn't enough. $400 million for our nation of 330 million people won't cut it. We need more resources. We need to protect the rights of all voters, including blind voters, during this pandemic. And it's one of my top priorities as we return to Washington next week to start discussing the COVID relief bills. I believe Speaker Pelosi is going to be part of your program in this gathering. She has shown exceptional leadership. Eight weeks ago, the House of Representatives passed the HEROES Act. Speaker Pelosi really pointed the way. I wish Senator McConnell would join her in that effort and make this a bipartisan effort. Nothing is more fundamental to our democracy than the right to vote. I can go on, but I won't. One reason is because there's an amazing woman who's waiting to speak after me, and I want you to hear her story. Her name is Miriam Samitwala. I know her talent because she, 10 years ago, worked for me as a member of my Senate Judiciary Committee staff. I understand she's the first and still the only blind person ever to work on the committee in Congress. And that committee is especially important because that's where we debate civil rights in America. She was there. Today, she's helping to train diplomats to represent America in the world. And there's one more issue I want to mention before I close. 20 years ago, boy, you think you need some patience to serve in the Senate. I introduced a bill called the DREAM Act to provide a pathway to citizenship for young people brought to this country by their parents as babies or young children, and who for one reason or another never officially became U.S. citizens. We've tried for years to pass this DREAM Act in Congress. We've never quite been able to get the Republicans to join us. In 2012, I appealed to my former colleague in the Senate, a man who became president, Barack Obama. I asked him, use your authority as president. Create a program to shield Dreamers from deportation on a temporary renewable basis. He did it. It's called DACA. And if these Dreamers register with the government, pay a fee, pass a background check, they are protected from deportation for 2 years and allowed to work as well. But in 2017, President Donald Trump announced that he was going to abolish DACA. Thank goodness, just 4 weeks ago, the United States Supreme Court rejected President Trump's actions. It was Chief Justice Roberts who shocked all of us by leading and writing this opinion and saying what President Trump did was arbitrary and capricious and wrong, and spelled it out in detail. Thank you, Supreme Court, for coming to the defense of almost 800,000 current DACA protectees. They need our help. They need our protection. And you know who they are? Business people, teachers, lawyers. 200,000 of them are essential workers. 41,000 of them are healthcare workers, needed now more than ever, risking their lives every day to save people's lives and to risk their own lives to keep us safe. Let me tell you about one DACA recipient. His name's Martin Becerra Miranda. He came to the United States with his mom from Mexico when he was just a few weeks before his fifth birthday. He grew up in Phoenix. He lost his sight at age 16. He was lucky, though. He was able to attend the NFB's training center in Colorado, one of the premier training centers for blind people anywhere in the world. He must have been a pretty darn good student and very impressive, because the training center hired him right away as a youth counselor, teaching cane travel to other young blind people. Today, Martin is youth director at the Colorado Training Center. I believe that Martin and all dreamers deserve the right to live and contribute in our nation, the only home they really have ever known. I hope NFB will join me in saluting him and saluting those, all those with disabilities who are also protected by DACA. Thank you, Federationists, for letting me say a few words to you today. We're going to be a better nation because of you. You continue to point the way to a better, fairer, more equal future for all Americans. Your determination throughout the history of this organization has been nothing short of amazing. You know the history. You go back in time before NFB, and people with disabilities and those who are blind were basically put in a back room to live a very lonely and unproductive life. You have thrown the door to that room wide open. You have said to people who are blind and others with disabilities, come out of that room and into America. We need you for our future. I am proud to be your partner. Thanks for letting me say a few words today.